more nervous in this room than anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a goon?
There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous morning show.
Cut the cameras, I'm about to f*** this up.
What kind of show is this?
My son
listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club with DJ Envy,
the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne the God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet. It's Thursday.
Angela Yee got her expensive headphones on today.
What?
I see her. She got a dashiki on too. Not a dashiki. What do you call that?
I got what?
What's that called? The shirt.
It's called a shirt.
No, ain't that the special kind of shirt?
No, it's not a special shirt.
Kimono.
No,
there you go.
This is not a kimono.
A dashiki is if it's African.
Yeah, that's
Let
a kimono.
Let me see, stand up.
It's a shirt. What is wrong with y'all?
That's not a kimono.
Oh, no, that's the kimono. It goes all the way down.
This is just a shirt.
You sure?
A kimono's like that, but full length.
Oh, okay.
This is just a shirt.
Gotcha.
Or some people would call it a blouse.
I thought you was repping your Asian heritage today.
Well, a kimono would be Japanese.
Oh, never mind. Listen, I'm ignorant. Don't blouse.
You said Asian.
I did, right?
It's an Asian.
Yeah, I thought I covered all my bases.
But my heritage isn't Japanese. It wouldn't be a kimono.
Oh. All right, you was almost right.
Okay, I was close.
You was almost right. You still didn't see the New Edition movie yet?
Nah, I'm gonna watch it this weekend.
Mind you, it's three parts, though.
Oh.
They only sent me one part.
No, they sent two.
They sent another email. Check. They sent two.
Let me check.
No, it's in one email.
No. The first one, they only sent one, and then they sent another email, and it was two.
Oh, the one that I have has both on it.
Oh, man, it's amazing. If you, next week when it comes out next week, right?
Yeah, the 24th.
Oh, you gotta see it. I watched it with the kids last night. The kids were so into it, learning who New Edition
was,
hearing the songs, the routines.
You have a good time, you'll sing along.
Oh, man, it was amazing.
By the way, you know how long I wanted to play Michael Bivins in a New Edition movie? Michael Bivins will tell you that himself. I'm talking about a decade or better. I was like, one day I'm going to play you in a New Edition biopic.
Did they let you audition at least?
No, I aged out of the role.
If you would have did that, I could have did Ronnie.
No, you couldn't.
Yes, I could.
You're not tall enough to be Ronnie.
I am tall
You're
enough to be Ronnie.
You're too awful colored to be Ronnie.
You could have been in ABC, though.
Stop it. No, shut up. I definitely could have played that. Trilogy.
Listen, you just wait for the boss biopic and then you go audition for every role, young man.
I'm definitely going to try that, too.
Okay,
that one, I'll be sure, Christopher Williams, all that.
I'll be sure Christopher Williams ain't never getting a biopic.
If they ever do a Mint Condition movie, you could be in something like that.
If they do an Uptown Records biopic, Christopher Williams, and I'll be sure I'll be in it. But they not getting their own individual
Or you could
movies.
Be Genuine, perhaps.
You definitely could be Genuine.
I could definitely be Genuine.
The TGT biopic, I could be Tyrese.
Oh, who's our tank?
You got to find us a tank.
You got to find us a tank.
That's it.
We got to find, I got to let my hair go a little bit.
Your biopic, you guys could be Bert and Ernie. I always tell you that.
Oh, God. Always go too far.
What?
But it's dope. Like I said, I've seen it with my kids. My kids were asking so many questions. Like, my kids are ready for the music industry. They're like, well, why they didn't get paid? Why they were on tour? Nobody was, why? My son said, why was the white guy ripping them off?
No. What is that thing they keep handing to people? Oh, that was called a cassette tape.
That's a cassette. That's a record.
What's that black thing? Is that a plate? No, that's a record.
That's a record. Yeah, but it was amazing. I watched that all day long.
When did that premiere on BET? Next week, right?
Next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And I'm going to watch it again with, like you said, with social media so I can
get my comments.
There's so much that I didn't know about New Edition.
That's the point of it.
Next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Oh, next Tuesday. Okay.
Next Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Okay, it starts off with them fighting on stage, and then it flashes back to how they got there.
They fought a lot.
But you got to think, when they got together, they were young boys that probably fight a lot anyway, and they were together all the time.
And who knew short-ass Michael Bivins was such a hood?
All right, but let people see the movie.
Goodness gracious, Mike Bivins.
Mike, not only was Mike Bivins a gangster, Mike Bivins was one of the best music executives ever.
Absolutely.
People forget about Biv 10, the record label, Boys to Men, Another Bad Creation. Like, Mike was that guy.
And had a wicked jump shot.
And
I wanted to play him in a biopic, but he gave it to Hakeem from Empire.
And he did a way
Plus,
better job
you can't
job
really
than
play basketball either, Charlamagne.
I can learn to do all those things.
No, you can't play basketball, you can't sing, and you definitely can't dance.
Stop telling me what I can't do, waffle-colored Negro. You beige people always want to keep dark-skinned brothers down. Don't tell me what I can't do. What
you mean
what
I can't anything. Do? You put your
Who are
heart
you?
He can't do that.
And mine, too.
All right.
You ain't going to stop the playing God and the white man God for me.
But that's why you didn't get that part. All right, well, Michael Eric Dyson will be joining us this morning.
Drop one of Clues Bombs for one of my favorite brothers in the world. And F the young lady on Instagram. I posted Michael Eric Dyson's book last night, and she was talking about, oh, you be on Jay-Z D so much, you gonna post a book that he read. Yeah, like I ain't never.
Oh my gosh.
Like Michael Eric Dyson's never been on the Breakfast Club before. Like, I've never posted Michael Eric Dyson books before. Like, your dumb ass just heard of Michael Eric Dyson because of Jay-Z.
And let's keep it real. Envy's the one that be on Jay-Z's D. I mean,
that is a fact.
That is a fact.
Clearly, she doesn't listen.
Shout out to Hov. Is it time for a Hov mix today? Should I do a Hov mix today?
Hey, do what you do, Rockefeller.
Hov mixing nine. Hey,
do what you gotta do, Rockefeller.
Shut up. All right, let's get the show cracking. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. That was Drake. Now, let's get in some front page news. Now, let's talk Obama's final press conference.
Yes, yeah, so Obama had his parting words, and
he's been having a lot of these, by the way.
Well, this is his final press conference, news conference
at
the White House.
It's like you with birthday parties, actually.
I know. Well, you know, it is January. Shout out to all the Capricorns. But here is what he has to say about our new president that will be in office soon, Donald Trump.
There are going to be certain elements of his temperament that will not serve him well unless he recognizes them and corrects them. When you're a candidate and you say something that is inaccurate or controversial, it has less impact than it does when you're president of the United States.
Yeah, I was watching O'Reilly Factor last night, and Bill O'Reilly was talking about how he doesn't remember George W. Bush saying anything like that about Barack Obama when he was coming in to the office, even though he had his issues with Barack.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I felt like it was nothing wrong with President Obama said, because Donald Trump says all of these things publicly. We all know he has a terrible temperament. We see it on social media. We see it when he does his press conferences. Mm-hmm. So I had no problem with Barack expressing that disdain for that action, those actions publicly.
Right.
And I think a lot of people feel that way.
Absolutely.
You know, I think the main thing is he's not trying to bash him. He's just saying, hey, when you're the president, you have to be held accountable.
He's addressing what the world sees.
Right. And you have to allow press people to ask you questions, even if you don't like the questions that they're asking you.
Yeah, we do that up
here.
They're
going to challenge you, and that's part of being the president.
You know, the funny thing is when we go do interviews or people ask us questions, they always say, is there anything I can't ask? And I always say no, because we're able to ask any artist whatever they want, and they can reply with whatever they want. We got to take it, because that's what we dish.
Mm-hmm. And you can always say, next question, I don't really want to discuss that right now.
Correct. Now let's
not a problem.
Mind your business.
Now, President,
mind your business.
And President Barack Obama also feels like we'll have any type of president in the future.
Yeah, we're going to have a woman president, we're going to have a Latino president, and we'll have a Jewish president, a Hindu president. Who knows who we're going to have? I suspect we'll have a whole bunch of mixed up presidents at some point that nobody really knows what to call them.
I felt that way. I don't know if I feel that way now.
It can still happen.
I thought we was about to go have that trend of different kind of presidents, but we back to stale, pale, white male.
We got another clip?
One last thing, because a lot of people are concerned about the future, but our President Barack Obama is saying, don't you worry.
I believe tragic things happen. I think there's evil in the world. But I think that at the end of the day, if we work hard, and if we're true to those things in us, that the world gets a little better each time. This is not just a matter of no drama Obama. This is what I really believe. At my core, I think we're going to be okay. We just have to fight for it. We have to work for it and not take it for granted.
That's true. We got to be the change we want to see in the world. I don't see no reason not to be optimistic.
Right.
Like,
right.
I'm not going to wake up every morning and be pessimistic and say, oh, woe is me. The world's coming to an end. Like, no.
Get out there and unite. I'll be at the Women's March, by the way, on Saturday in D.C. Yes.
Yep. Yes.
Instead, at this point, it looks like it's going to be about 400,000 people going.
That's dope.
I'm going to be in the area. I'm going to try to, I have a show out there, so I'm going to try to go by beforehand.
Oh, you're going to be in D.C. also?
Yeah.
You doing something for inauguration?
Well,
or
not
just
in D.C., but I'll be close to D.C. I'll be actually in
Let
Philly.
Why not you DJing a Trump party on the low?
You DJing for Chrisette Michelle?
No. You DJing a Trump party on the low?
Wait a minute.
I'm actually DJing Club Onyx in Philly. The strip club with 50 Cent. But, okay.
And I heard Trump's coming.
Watching, no, yeah, right.
We watching you.
But I'll be about an hour, 15 away. I might stop.
Don't let us
come
see you
earlier.
At inauguration.
Be some DJ with a freaking mask on. Like, that ain't Danger Mouse. I know those movements anyway. That's DJ Envy.
All right. Well, that's front page.
With a white hood on.
That's front page news. Tell them why you mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, call us right now. Maybe you had a bad night, a bad morning, whatever it may be. 800-585-1051. Tell them why you mad. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Hey, yo, this is DMX. You know what makes me mad? When ask for the truth, but can't handle the truth. All right? Now tell them why you mad on The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Hello, who's this?
King to the Blunt Man out of St. Augustine, Florida again. What's poppin', y'all?
What's up, Blunt Man? Tell him why you mad, bro.
Man, I'm so mad that I drive 2 minutes down the road and it's raining, and I drive another 2 minutes and it's dry. Let me tell you, Florida haven't been Florida lately, man.
That seems like Florida to me. It seems like it rains in 1 minute and then the next minute it's sunny as hell.
That seems like the world. Like, that could be any place in America, sir.
For real, you know what I'm saying?
You high, bro?
I'm talking about the weather. That's just the weather, guys.
What? Hey, are you high?
He's high.
Are you high?
He's definitely high. Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is London.
Hey, London, you seem mad about something.
You ain't never been to London.
Listen, I'm upset. It's early in the morning, and I'm calling in to tell you guys how mad I really am.
Tell us, Mama.
I have a 40-year-old fine boyfriend who has no damn sense and no patience.
Uh-oh. How old are you? How old are you, first of all?
I'm 33 years old.
Okay.
And I'm fine, too.
Okay. So he has no sense?
No patience at all. And I'm mad at the women that he dated before he got me.
Somebody didn't whip him into shape.
No. I mean, you're dealing with a woman who is a PhD doctor. He works as a special agent. And he just has no damn sense, no patience. Doesn't know how to listen when we have an issue.
Ain't nobody got time to be listening to your young ass at 40 years old.
How long have you guys been together?
We've been together for a few months.
What you be trying
to
tell him?
We're about to be apart if he continues on.
Why he not listening to you? What are you talking about that he not listening?
Listen. I'm not really talking about much. All I ask is, hey, you know, sometimes get forced late because things come up and I'll be like, hey, babe, you know, call me. And he'll fall asleep all the time. This man loves his sleep. I need a little attention.
I'm not mad at that.
I'm going to be honest with you.
But I need a little attention sometimes. So
Do y'all live together?
You know, yesterday, no, we don't live together. He doesn't pay bills here, sweetheart.
Whoa. I'm going to be honest with you. You sound like a side chick, boo. You sound like a nice little young thing that he's tapping. Why he go home to his wife?
I'm a 1,000,000% not a side chick. I'm way too cute for that. I get most of his time. I get most of his time, for sure.
Okay. It does take you a while to get to the point.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does. And he does give me a lot of his time, but he just, when it comes to conflict, he doesn't know how to kind of, you know, work things out. He just kind of shuts down a whole conversation.
Yeah, he doesn't have any patience with you.
Don't nobody want no conflict. Do you understand that it takes my participation for it to be a conflict? Maybe if he's not participating in the conflict because he doesn't want any.
What conflict I'm talking about? You don't know what level of conflict. These are simple things like, hey, babe, just give me a call.
Hold on, you might need to.
I got a lot going on.
We don't want to talk to you either, boo.
You might need to call back, Dorothy.
We don't have the patience to talk to you.
Hello, who's this?
It's Charlie Jr. from Duval County. What's going on? How y'all doing this morning?
Tell him why
in
you mad.
In the building, baby.
What's going on? Why you mad?
Let me tell you. So I'm at the store yesterday getting ready to check out, and I asked her later they did military discount, and she going to tell me, oh, my God, why y'all always come here asking military discount? Why y'all just can't pay for it like everybody
else?
Damn, like your time in the military don't mean nothing.
Yeah. I know what I'm saying? If they offer a discount, I want it. She don't go to Popeyes and they do the $5 box. Like, nah, I'm going to pay for it regular.
There you go, player.
That's a benefit that you get.
Exactly, man. I ain't never going back to that Dollar General, man.
Now, let me ask you a question. You were in the military, right? You're just not using your daddy's military thing, right?
No, I'm still in. They know me. Okay. I'm the military's favorite comedian. What you talking about?
I like Dollar General, but I like Family Dollar just a little bit better.
You know, I like Family Dollar, too. You know what I'm saying? They all right, but they got better toilet tissue at Dollar General.
You ain't got no 99-cent store around you?
No, man. I'm in Virginia right now, so you know, okay. I don't really know how to 99-cent place.
Got you.
Tell them why you mad. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent, you can call us right now. Mad people hit me yesterday about massage envy, Charlamagne.
Yeah, because they love massage envy, but y'all bougie-ass folks don't want to go to massage envy. Y'all think y'all too good for massage envy.
I've never been there.
I go to Elements.
I don't even know what that is.
It's the same as massage envy.
Massage envy is the Chick-fil-A of massage parlors, okay? It's an
amazing
place.
I have a masseuse that comes to my house.
Okay,
boom. There you go with all that rich dollars. You got money.
All right.
You got money.
Tell them why you mad. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Trump.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yo.
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on the Breakfast Club.
So the news is that Chrisette Michele is set to perform at Donald Trump's inauguration.
Crickets.
Now, allegedly, she's been planning this for about a week, but it's been a secret because her whole camp is scared of the criticism that she'll get once everybody found out, which they have found out now. Mm-hmm. I saw Questlove tweeted out that he would pay her to not perform at inauguration.
Crazy.
I was looking at who is actually going to show up and perform, and it looks like some struggle.
Who is it?
Oh.
All right, so we see the Rockettes are going to be there. Toby Keith is going to be performing. Also, I see... actually, Chrisette Michele was supposed to perform with singers Travis Greene and Jonathan McReynolds and Ty Tribbett. That's who she was on BET's Celebration of the Gospel with, but they turned it down.
I don't know anybody you named just now except for the Rockettes and Toby Keith.
And the Rockettes, so it's not even Christmas time.
Sam Moore.
Never heard of him.
He's an 81-year-old Motown singer. And Lee Greenwood.
I don't know who that is.
And also Bruce Springsteen's cover band, the B Street Band.
Jesus Christ.
Was supposed to perform, but they actually withdrew because the real band for Bruce Springsteen actually had a problem with that. So they just withdrew from that.
Listen, you can tell the popularity.
This ain't going to be a good party.
You can tell the popularity of a person based off how people react to them, performing at Trump's inauguration. People like Chrisette Michele. Oh, I don't care. Y'all can have her. But do they get paid?
Yeah.
Oh, if they get paid, Chrisette might need the money. So
little budget.
Oh, but you know what, though? She might even use the stage to make a stand or protest something.
Well, she said
something.
That we she would know. Perform as long as she could do an R&B set.
You know what this inauguration reminds me of? Have y'all seen the
That's
movie?
That's all she does, though.
Have y'all seen the movie Sing? When the little, whatever animal he was looking for performers, looking for animals to perform to save his theater. That's what this movie.
How old are you, man?
What you mean Sing just came out? You got kids? You need to take your kids to see Sing?
Nah,
how old am I? Like, the movie just ain't come out this year. Shut up. Or last year.
I didn't see Sing.
All right.
We passed on that one.
Well, they should do a cartoon about trying to find some people to perform at
inauguration.
That's
what it feels like. It really feels like this.
All right. Chance the Rapper's little brother, Taylor Bennett, has finally said that he wants to live his truth. He said, "My birthday is tomorrow. And moving into next year, I'd like to be more open about myself to help others that struggle with the same issues."
He looks just like Chance, too. Show the picture again, the first picture. Oh, my goodness. We're on revolt.
That's his brother. I know they had put up a meme saying that his brother's name is Possibility. I don't know.
That's funny.
Why the Possibility?
He said, "Growing up, I've always felt indifferent about my sexuality and being attracted to one sex. And today I would like to openly come out to my fans. I do recognize myself as a bisexual male and have always openly supported the gay community and will keep doing so in 2017. Thank you."
So he likes men and women.
Yes, he's bisexual, both.
So it's a 50-50 chance that he could be with a man. Or a woman.
Correct.
What you're
saying. Right.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, or he could be with both at the same time.
Okay.
If he so chose.
Hi, I'm Chance the Rapper. This is my brother, 50-50 Chance the Rapper.
All right, and some celebrities are thanking our President Barack Obama as he gets ready to leave office.
You free Big Meech.
Including Carmelo Anthony, Chance the Rapper, Donald Glover, and Usain Bolt. Here they are.
The big thing he gave was just hope. We jumped some barriers when Barack Obama got into the chair.
President Barack Obama, to me, is the perfect introduction to hard work as a man.
It was really nice to have a president who understood bravery.
I really look up to him and the fact that he was a fan also.
He was a fan!
It'll be cool to tell, like, you know, my grandkids about it, like, kind of thing. Like, yeah, like, first black president, like, I was there.
Who was that crying saying, "He's so fine"? Who was that?
He's a fan, I think he said. Isn't that what he said?
He's Usain a fan. Bolt? Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, today is the series finale of Young Jeezy,
finale.
My President is Black.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to get that on in the mix today.
Series finale. Song.
Finale.
This song won't mean nothing. I'm not saying it won't mean nothing.
Well, hopefully we can bring it back in a couple of years.
Well, four.
Maybe.
Unless there's some type of impeachment situation in it.
What do you mean in a couple? You mean in a 4 years, another black president will run Cory Booker,
four,
maybe?
It could be eight. Could be 12.
Okay. We'll see. But, you know, this song won't mean the same thing after tomorrow.
Mm. All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
All right, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, we have Michael Eric Dyson joining us.
Dropping the clues bombs for Michael Eric Dyson, damn it. And I want everybody to feel like they can participate in this conversation.
Mm-hmm. Now, explain to the people who Michael Eric Dyson is for people
Michael
who don't
Eric
know.
Dyson is an author. He's a former professor at Princeton,
yes, Princeton.
I believe it was. You know, somebody hit me up on Instagram yesterday, and they said, oh, Michael Eric Dyson again, huh? Another whitey hater on The Breakfast Club. He is not a whitey hater at all, okay? He's got a book out called Tis We Can't Stop, A Sermon to White America. And he just speaks his truth. That's okay. It. Like, he speaks on a bunch of different things. You may agree with some things, you may disagree with some things. But I think he's a very great brother, and I think he's somebody that everybody should listen to.
Okay.
Shouldn't have to
for free. That was Khaled for free. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
I really enjoy reading this young man's work. Michael Eric Dyson is here.
Oh, man. Young man. I love y'all. Young man.
Young is about energy.
Oh, Mike. Well,
then
I got
plenty of that.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Let me look. I got to start with this.
Yes, sir.
Because I want to celebrate and congratulate what you did. See, we always dog people for the so-called negative, but we don't accentuate the positive. You made a statement, you made an argument, you said publicly you were wrong. Not only did you acknowledge it, you went and did something about it, brought the people on, discussed it,
yes,
and
sir.
Engaged it. That is human being of the first order. That's the first magnitude of masculinity and manhood. I just got to celebrate you, my man.
Thank you. My guy, guys, talk about when I made my tweet about women and women of color needing a platform like Tommy Lauren, and yes.
Are you saying that we misunderstood you, what you meant?
Here we go.
Oh, God.
I mean, it is.
Yeah, you did.
It's true.
I mean,
see what you just started, Michael?
See what I'm saying? That's all. I want to acknowledge the ability to be self-critical. That's what
yes,
I'm saying. And that's
absolutely
so important. That's what's missing in the world today.
Absolutely not.
And then we did the same thing with Stop and Frisk.
I did.
He said that he believed in Stop and Frisk after he had gotten shot at his car.
Almost murdered.
Oh, yeah.
And then he said that he supported Stop and Frisk. And then he had to come back and say that he also misspoke.
It was an emotional decision.
Of course it does. Existential misery leads to, you know, political transformation. So, you know, something happened to you on a personal level, then you start thinking about it. A woman loses a son in the war, and all of a sudden she becomes a serious activist because that impacts you in a way it never did before.
Absolutely.
You own a Corvette, you start looking at Corvettes. You own a Mercedes, you start looking at Mercedes. So it makes sense that what happens to you personally will impact what you think about the world.
Well, yep. Let's talk about something that's affecting us all personally, mm-hmm, which is the Trump presidency.
Wow. That's just still amazing to say that, isn't
it? It is.
What are we doing in a post-Trump society? And I'm sure you address that in your new book.
I do, but
Tears We Cannot Stop, A Sermon to White People.
Yes, sir. But, Sermon to White America. You're right on it. I think, look, we got to be honest about who Trump is. See, first of all, white brothers and sisters, I don't want nobody telling me nothing about affirmative action no more. Because this dude done killed the game. Here is a guy who is radically incompetent, incapable of exercising the gravitas, that is, the seriousness necessary to exercise that office. You ain't never had a public position as dog catcher, much less president of the United States of America. You challenged the legitimacy of one of the smartest presidents we've ever had in Barack Hussein Obama. And you, with your thin skin, can't even endure a critique from a person like John Lewis say you're illegitimate. And all of a sudden, this is the first toddler presidency. Mm. This is the first presidency where a childish mentality, where an infantile sensibility will prevail. But the fact is, he is the president. We have to acknowledge that. And I know we're going to get into this, so I'm going to jump into it right away.
Yes.
Love my man Steve Harvey. Love Kanye. Love all the people. I love Jim Brown.
I love Ray Lewis.
Look, it ain't no problem. I ain't got no problem with them going to talk to Donald Trump. But understand, as T.I. said, how you're being positioned. Mm-hmm. Are you on the menu? Or are you eating at the table? Who's playing who? Who's zooming who? Sorry to go back to Aretha Franklin. The point is, I had to go old school for you. But the point is that why is it, if we go to white folk and talk, are we going to talk to Miley Cyrus? We're going to talk to Mitch McConnell. Mm. We're going to deal with Britney Spears or John Boehner. Mm-hmm. So going to Steve Harvey is not in itself an intrinsic fault, but it becomes a fault in the light of you're avoiding John Lewis and dissing him. You're avoiding Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton. You're avoiding the Congressional Black Caucus. You're avoiding people whose job it is to deal with the issues of public policy, of injustice, of democratic flow. Then you do an end run around them and then go talk to a comedian and to a rapper and some football players. Dude, you're insulting us. First of all, as D.O. Hughley said, maybe that's how you see us. Maybe you reduce us to being entertainers and ballplayers, and you can't see that we are intellectuals and we are thinkers and politicians and reflecting on the culture in which we live. So Donald Trump wants to avoid serious black heat with high intelligence to bring him to accountability, so he'd rather talk to somebody who will come out and say, oh, I had a good time meeting with him. And I ain't mad. Look, let me tell you right. what. 30 Rock, year and a half ago, maybe almost two, I'm in 30 Rock. I just was on TV dogging Donald Trump. Elevators open up. You've been very hard on me.
Donald Trump talking to you.
Talking to me.
Michael Eric Dice.
Talking okay. to me. He says, you've been very tough on me, but I love you. He says, if I had your pipes and your brains, I'd be president now. I said, oh, my God. He said, let's take a picture. You know how you do with the girls. You don't really dig. You don't want to be in the public. Like, let's take it on the side. So we go to the side. Take it on the side. I'm just saying. I don't want to be in public with you like that. See, I understood what Steve Harbin did because I don't want you to circulate this picture thinking I'm legitimating and justifying your presidential run. We take the picture. He introduces me to all of his huge throng out there. This is Michael Eric Dyson, one of the greatest minds in our country. I understand his charisma. I understand his personal appeal. I'm sure individually Donald Trump is cool, but that has nothing to do with the way in which he is operating in American culture to give voice to some of the most racist sensibilities. The xenophobia, that's just a big term that talks about you don't like foreigners mm-hmm. and you don't like people coming into the country as immigrants. Some of the sexism, the predatory behavior. And here you are trying to grab a woman's kitty cat and then you trying to blame hip-hop. I ain't heard Biggie say that. Some say the X makes the sex spectacular. Make me lick you from your back to your neck then up.
X is a drug, though.
Come on. Well, but my point is, you know what I'm saying? We're not going to Cosby the show. But what I'm saying to you is, right, we don't drop no Mickeys. But he's also saying, in terms of the X-rated, and he's also saying, if it's all right with you tonight, we're loving. That's securing consent.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump ain't asking nobody for consent. What he's trying to do out there is just grab it because he's a very famous figure. I'm saying this is the sensibility of the president of the United States of America. So on every level, this guy is problematic. And we cannot, as people have been saying, normalize this. We can't accept it. Oh, well, he's the president. First of all, stop buying the lies. It's not a populist movement. He lost a popular election by nearly 3 million votes.
Right.
He's going in with one of the lowest approval ratings ever of any president elect of the United States of America.
I think it's the lowest.
It's one of the lowest.
Yeah, the lowest.
What you are is an extremely lucky guy. And again, the reason I said about affirmative action is a good thing, but I'm saying many of the white brothers and sisters who oppose it, well, it's about people who are incompetent. You got the most incompetent president, arguably, in the history of the world. Shut that noise up about affirmative action. That argument is dead. We see the compensatory mechanism of whiteness that refuses to acknowledge its own limits, its own fragility, its own vulnerability, and its own innocence, right? It plays those up and refuses to be accountable. So now you put in a bunch of billionaires. What they got to do with the white working class? People say this was a white working class movement this election. Really? Because they ain't the only working class out there. We got a black working class and a brown working class. Ain't none of them voted for Donald Trump. I mean, very few of them.
Some of the brown.
Very few of them. Yeah. Very few of them. Now, 13% of black men did vote for Donald Trump. Dude, what you on? What you doing? You know what that is? That's patriarchy. That's black machismo. That's the inability to see a woman in control.
All right, we got more with author Michael Eric Dyson coming up. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
That was Drake with One Dance. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We have Michael Eric Dyson in the building. Now, Yee?
I know one person, a black man, that voted for Donald Trump, and his rationale was because he's a businessman and I have businesses, and it would be better for me to have somebody that knows how to make money.
He's a capitalist, clearly.
Yes, right. As president.
I mean, if that's the case, you got drug dealers on the corner. Let's have a drug dealer presidency. I mean, let's have a hustler presidency. He is a hustler to a degree. I understand that, but how narrow is that? How self-involved and invested is that? The fact is, I don't want to cast aspersions against the person you're speaking of. I'm sure his business is thriving and booming. I'm sure he's huge. But the reality is that most people can't afford to vote for a president based upon merely their bottom line when the larger society is at stake. I bet that person you were talking to ain't richer than Warren Buffett.
Nope.
I bet he ain't richer than Bill Gates. And both of those men said, I'm willing to pay taxes because I'm willing to see this society put on a better path than to really shore up my bottom line. I'd rather give my money to the society in which we live through taxes than see a guy come in who will be good for my business and yet mess up the country.
So what do we do next? What do we do now that he's in office?
I don't want to jump to that real quick. I want to unpack some of the stuff he talked about with the people engaging Donald Trump.
Right, you
mentioned the Congressional Black Caucus. You mentioned John Lucas. And that's one thing I said. If I was invited to meet Trump, I wouldn't go unless I bring the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan with
right,
me.
Right, right, right.
Don't you think it's kind of Black America's fault because the people we put up on those pedestals as our leaders are the entertainers and the athletes, and those are the people that you probably would want to meet with?
Sure. I mean, it's our fault to a degree, but it's a vicious cycle. Those are the people that are allowed to go front. It's not like we... Look at Hidden Figures. We got mathematicians.
Mm-hmm.
We got thinkers. These people been out there for a minute. But the society doesn't see them, doesn't understand them, and guess what? We don't either. The point you're making is so brilliant. People act as if Black people have some kind of special radar that allows us to see differently than the larger society. To a certain degree, our own racial experiences condition us and make us see things from a different perspective. But we buy the hype too. We watching the same TV everybody else watching. We believe Negroes ain't doing X, Y, and Z too. We don't know what we're doing. One of the greatest consequences of white supremacy is to convince Black people not to study their own history. Not to know who we are. I'm 58 years old. There's some stuff I'm just now learning about Black people. And I got a PhD from Princeton. And I've been out here for a minute.
Like for what?
I mean, for instance, when you talk about look, I didn't know about the Hidden Figures. Did y'all?
No.
I didn't know that these Black women were mathematicians at NASA. Did you? I ain't had no inkling. I'm a pretty smart dude.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't know nothing about that. I'm telling you, the variety of enterprise that Black people have been involved in, the stuff we've done in, you know, wars and in foreign countries and with languages and I mean, the half ain't been told. So my point is, let's be a little bit more humble and recognize that we've been miseducated, misinformed, ill-educated, and don't know much about what's going on. And yes, to a certain degree, we have to be held accountable to that, because if it's something about hip-hop, and I ain't dogging it, because, you know, Jay-Z posted yesterday about my book, so I got to show love to Jehovah. And to Rick Ross, Rosé,
what up?
I know, I don't want to jump the gun in self-promotional materials, but since we're here, I'll say it. So the reality is that I'm not dissing anybody that's doing that kind of thing, but there is something deeper and more profound. We just finished celebrating the birthday of a man named Martin Luther King Jr. who didn't live to be 40. He ain't had no deep ends. He ain't had no deep pockets. Well, he did, because he was making something like $200,000 in 1963. Do you know how much money that is? He gave most of it away to the movement, except maybe $6,000. He kept $6,000 from that salary, making 200 grand back in 64. That's good money right now.
Who was paying him?
Speaking engagements.
Okay, gosh.
He's talking every day, going out, you know. Then he's getting $4,000 from being the co-pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta. For an unprincely sum of $10,000 with four kids and a wife. He had to borrow money every year from his father to pay his taxes. Harry Belafonte put up the money for a $100,000 life insurance policy for each of his kids.
Wow.
This man is an American hero, arguably the greatest American who ever lived.
Ever. That's why I hate when people like Kanye say things like, you have to have money to make change.
No, you don't.
No.
No, Martin Luther King Jr. had nothing, but he changed the world, Doc. He changed the world. Now, I ain't mad at people trying to get money now as a consequence of what Dr. King did, because Dr. King, at the end of his life, was fighting against economic injustice. Never forget that he went to Memphis, Tennessee to side with garbage workers in Memphis, Tennessee. So this man understood economic inequality and the necessity for Black people to get theirs, but don't pretend as if your pockets on swole, you the best person in the world. If that's the case, Donald Trump would be the greatest man in the world.
Yeah.
But he ain't.
What do we do for the next 4 years? Do we turn our back and try to ignore it? Or
no.
As African-American and Black people, how do we attack this situation?
We do what we've always done when we ain't been in power, and that's been most of the time. Don't act like. See, we acting like Obama was the regular. No, dog, that was the commercial. That wasn't the program.
Right.
We acting like we don't know what that is. We have been out of power forever.
You're right.
So what do? We do what we always do. We go to church. We pray to God. We go to the temple. We go to the synagogue. We have a spiritual practice. We understand not to fall for the okie doke. We don't allow our most esteemed and valued entertainers to represent us if they're doing stupid stuff. We speak out against that. Look, we can even be critical of our president who's in office now. Even though he's going out, we're going to miss him for real, for real. But he wasn't perfect. Mm-hmm. And the inability of Black people to even conjure a useful criticism of Obama is problematic. Because then if I was Trump, I'd be going like, look, you had a brother in there for 8 years and ain't said nothing. Don't say nothing to me because I'm done. So the point is that what we've got to do, Howard Thurman, and I talk about this in my book, a great mystic said, never reduce your life to the event you're facing right now.
Mm.
He said, if you reduce your life to the event you're facing now, you're not going to see what's ahead of you. He said, our slave foreparents were in cotton fields. They couldn't even imagine an Obama. But what they did was imagine a future different than where they are. Now, I happen to be an ordained Baptist minister. So hope, you know, we talk about faith is the, what does it go? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So the thing is that you hoping for some stuff you ain't seen yet, but you never reduce your life to what you're confronting now. Divorce, distress, disease, your baby mama ain't acting right, baby daddy ain't paying the rent on time. All that is real. It's a crisis. But don't reduce the complexity of your life and the beauty of what you are to what your event is. You are not who, you are not what you confront. Mm. You are bigger than that. So black people got to see, my pastor used to say this, we have already been through what we've come to. So if we done came to this and we've been through this before, it's like David with fighting in the Bible. You know the story about David and Goliath. Here's the point. The reason David had so much swag is because he's like, okay, you big, you a giant, but I done killed some bears and stuff. I done killed some lions and stuff. So when I call upon those useful memories of lion killing and bear killing, I can face this giant. So we got a giant in Donald Trump, but this is not the first giant we face. We have been through Jim Crow, Jane Crow. We have been through vicious downturns in the economy. We have been through lynching. We've been through where people spitting on us. We've been through white water fountains and black water fountains. Part of the problem is millennials and older black people don't even know our history, so we don't know what we've been through to know what we're capable of achieving.
All right, we got more with Michael Eric Dyson coming up in minutes. Keep it locked. That was Ray Sherman with Black Beatles. Now, morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're talking to Michael Eric Dyson. Now, Charlamagne?
Now, let me ask Mike about some of these bosses. He might be spitting so hard. You got to listen to some of these bosses. They're so good. Now, when you talked about black people,
right?
This is what I feel. I was talking about this yesterday. Mm-hmm. We're going to have engagers and resistors for the next 4 years. We're going to have people who choose to engage with the Trump administration and try to make change there. We're going to have people who just resist and say, look, let's just, you know, come together ourselves.
That's right.
My problem is when the engagers and resistors start arguing amongst each other and we start pointing fingers and saying, oh, he ain't black and he's an Uncle Tom, he's a cool.
I can't get
we got to be on the same page together, especially if the end result is just the betterment of black people.
That's a brilliant point. That's a brilliant point because, you know, when you're looking at a dog, you got somebody trying to come over the fence. You got a pack of dogs. One dog is barking at the person trying to come over the fence. The rest of the dogs barking at the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you're talking about. We got dogs barking at dogs.
Exactly.
As opposed to the real threat. And I'm not interested in calling somebody an Uncle Tom and, Aunt Sally. I'm saying let's be serious and conscientious about doing the work we do. Everybody, everything ain't for everybody.
Right.
So your job is what you do. My job is what I do. But here's the point, though. Even if you choose, look, if Donald Trump invites you to go to the White House when he's president, go. If Donald Trump says, come sit, if you're going to go tell him the truth, if you're going to kiss the ring, you're not really of service to us. And by the way, that was true for Obama, too. All the black people that went up in there and all you did was kiss the ring
and get the fruit.
Let me tell you what. And I was up in there one day, Tom Joyner sitting down there challenging me. I love Tom Joyner. About the book I was writing on Obama, he said, you're going to write a book that could be critical of the president. And he said it could be critical of him. And Obama's sitting right across from me. And he said it could be critical of the president. And you could really, because you're a famous black person, you could really mess this election up 2012. And I said, first of all, I ain't even wrote the book yet. So are you Nostradamus? I mean, you know. And then I said, well, tell me how many books I'm going to sell because I got kids to feed. And then Obama jumped in. He's fun. He said, yeah. And he's sitting here eating my food. And without missing a beat, because I'm nasty with this microphone.
Yes, you are.
And these words, I said, paid for by my tax money.
Oh!
Snap, son! And I said, given what I'm paying, I'm going to be here next week. So the thing is, if me and Obama then went on to have a disagreement. Very respectful, because I respect him. Right. I'm so proud of him as the first black president. I got love for you. I've known Obama since 92. But I said, sir, I disagree with you. You think a rising tide lifts all boats. I think that when you go to the emergency ward, you don't just get medicine. It depends on what you got. If you got a hangnail, you get aspirin. If you got diabetes, you get insulin. If you got cancer, you get chemotherapy. The medicine, like a public policy, should be targeted toward the ill it is meant to relieve. Mm. So my point is, I respectfully disagree with that man. Mm. When I got invited to the White House, I can honestly say I'm not on the ass-kissing mission. Mm. I'm on the respectfully share my disagreement with you, even as I love and embrace you and support you strategically.
How does Donald Trump, you think, react to people respectfully disagreeing with him?
Donald Trump can't even. I said it's a toddler presidency. You're mean, you're nasty, you throw your bottle in Enfamil, you crap in your diapers and then spread it around. He doesn't react at all in a I think a reasonable and politic fashion to those who disagree with you. Mm. Dude, when you got numbers up in this game, you can afford to say something. Mm-hmm. Like Jay-Z said, holler, when you 10 years in the game and you got these numbers, holler back. Until then, be quiet. John Lewis got numbers in this game. John Lewis was on the bloody, you know, a bloody Sunday, March, got his skull cracked. John Lewis was a freedom rider. You got pictures of him bleeding. And we got Donald Trump playing squash while my man was being squashed. So the reality is Donald Trump doesn't understand the basic fundamental condition of our black people. And for a black person, and if you are not familiar with this as an entertainer, don't go. The problem is we love fame so much, we think famous people got something more to say. They can be just as dumb, just as ill-informed, just as ignorant, just as illiterate, and God knows, subject to criticism. And they deserve the critique. I'm not here to protect entertainers from being criticized. When you making money from dominant white supremacist capitalist American culture and you not want to remain safely ensconced in your niche of protection, you need to feel the heat of black people asking questions. I'm not talking about Steve Harvey, whom I love, and those other guys, but I'm saying if you go up in there, don't get yourself played. Don't allow yourself to become part of Donald Trump's commercial. What's your purpose? Now, if you got a program for the inner city, if you could try to help people, Jim Brown has been great, but Jim Brown has had some complicated relationships with women himself. Right. Let's just be real. Mm-hmm. So we know what's going on there. So let's not try to be Pollyannish about this. The reality is at the end of the day, if you go up there and then start saying how great he is, that's how great he is as an individual. What does that have to do with how he treats black people en masse?
That's the one problem I had with Steve. It's like this guy has been spitting nasty rhetoric for 18 months. And you have
longer than 18 months,
him?
By the way. Mm-hmm. Much longer than 18 months.
Well, during his presidential campaign.
Deny Negroes access to your rental properties.
And you have one meeting with
him. And now he's great?
Yeah,
come on, dog.
I didn't like that part.
You know, Jesus can change you in the twinkling of an eye. There's no question about that, but I ain't heard to come to Jesus moment, and I ain't heard the sermon, and I ain't heard the doors of the church open, and ain't got no, you know, contribution going on either. That's and the point you're making is so important. These figures, like I have to be held accountable. So I am not against people being held accountable,
but
I
don't want to read nobody. Names,
but you ain't. But first of all, what's the time? I mean, you know, every one of us in here at some point.
Man, they called Martin Luther King Jr. and Uncle Tom.
Malcolm X called him a Tom.
Malcolm X called him a Tom. They called Rosa Parks a Tom. They called Jackie Robinson and Uncle Tom.
And I love Malcolm X, but you up in Harlem to fight in Birmingham.
Mm.
Harlem, that's where Negroes are.
Mm.
There's love.
Mm.
The fight is in Birmingham, sir. Mm. That's where they're killing Negroes now. You go down there and you oppose them, assalamu alaikum.
Mm.
And I love Malcolm X. What Malcolm X did is nonpareil. What Malcolm X did in terms of reviving the black conscience and consciousness is incredible. But stop the name calling, because Howard Thurman said this. You can go to the Atlantic Ocean. You can dip your glass in the Atlantic Ocean. It may be full of the Atlantic Ocean. It ain't all the Atlantic Ocean. You may be full of the truth, but you ain't got all the truth. We need each other. Let's stop the name calling, but let's up the ante and be responsible for what we do.
I got one question for you, Go. Why'd you dedicate your book to Solange, Beyonce, and Tina Knowles?
For several reasons. First of all, I love them. Right? I'm on the beehive.
I'm with you. I call myself a Pinkett Smith Winfrey Knowles Carter, sir.
Girl, I am henpecked. I am henpecked like a big dog. What did you say, Queen? Yes, ma'am. Give me my marching orders. I don't care. I love what Beyonce has done to leverage her authority as the world's greatest entertainer in behalf of black people. Now, she does it for global as a global humanitarian for all kind of people. I'm not mad at that. But I'm saying she also understands that she doesn't have to sacrifice her own commitment to her own blackness in order to be a human being. That's number one. Number two, I love what Solange has done with her latest album. I love that Afro-Bohemian avant-garde beauty that she represents intellectually and spiritually and willingness to engage people and not take no guff. And I love the mama who shaped both of them, both as an entrepreneur and as an entertainer, you know, the nurture of an entertainer and as a matriarch. But let me tell you why I did it as well. No disrespect to the Kardashians.
Mm-hmm.
But God dang it, I'm tired. If we're going to celebrate, I'm tired of women who are being celebrated without acknowledging the incredible durability, genius, and creativity of what black women have done. So I wanted to choose this trio of transformative women to celebrate and uplift what they have done. Their commitment to our people, their commitment to our world, their humanitarian and entrepreneurial efforts, and their fundamental gut bucket love unapologetically for the people from whose wombs they emerged.
Your book about to shoot the number one because black women about to make it go there.
I love y'all. I'm telling you. I did write a book called Why I Love Black Women. I love all the women in the world. I'm from the 70s. That's how we did it. But I wrote a book called Why I Love Black Women. I think black women need to be celebrated and elevated. I love hip-hop, but I'm tired of the bitch, hoe, skeezer, slut, hood, rat, chicken head. I'm tired of the demonization of women. I understand that you say that's the word you use because you choose to do it. And don't get it twisted. Men in my generation use the same word. But we had the good enough sense not to go in public and celebrate our return. Rhetorical pathology by demonizing the very woman whose wombs we have taken our life. Mm. Start being respectful to black women.
There you go. Tell them the name of the book again.
Tears We Cannot Stop, A Sermon to White America.
All right. It's The Breakfast Club.
Michael Eric Dyson. Yeah.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's all DJ right. MV.
Relax with your beige ballads.
There's
okay?
nothing wrong with a beige ballad every
Nobody
once in a while.
Your beige ballads. It's Black History Month next week. All beige people must be silenced until
oh,
March.
Oh, I'm glad you said that because we're going to do a Black History Month story for a Rumor Report right now.
And salute to Michael Eric Dyson, too, man. Thank you for coming. He's trending right now.
My beige brother.
On Twitter. His interview will be up in like 5 minutes.
All right, let's get to the rumors.
I got to read his book. Did you read it yet?
Not yet.
Listen up.
This just in.
All the gossip. The Rumor Report. Angela Yee.
It's the Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
All right, well, Nas, in celebration of Black History Month, is going to be doing a Black History Month exclusive collection. If you remember, he did his ugly Christmas sweaters in support of prison reform. Well, now he's doing this, and a portion of the proceeds will go to National Black Child Development Institute. They provide resources to black kids through publications, advocacy, and trainings related to early childhood care and education. Now he's going to have inspirational dashikis with writing saying things like Black Don't Crack and I'm Black and I'm Proud. He's going to do graphic tees, sweatshirts, and Malcolm X-inspired hats. And he's also going to have pro-black versions of classic cartoon characters like Bart Simpson, Charlie Brown, and the Pink Panther.
Okay.
Gotta love it. Now, he had recently told the Huffington Post that he used to low-key cringe when Black History Month came around. He said it felt like a slap in the face with all the hell we catch daily, like a small reward for a dog's good behavior, then back to the kennel. But I'll take it. I'll take what I can get, and that's all I need to go to new heights.
Yeah, drop on the clues bombs for Nas. Celebrate Black History Month, man. If there's ever a time to use every opportunity to teach, and Black History Month is a great opportunity to teach.
Absolutely.
Well, let's do some more positivity. Let's talk about Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock. Now, he actually gave an unsuspecting Army combat veteran and Purple Heart recipient a gift. Here's how it went down.
So I heard you're a Dodgers fan?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like big-time Dodgers
fan? Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe you can go to a Dodgers game in your brand-new 2018 Mustang.
Wow.
What?
That's you.
Are you kidding me?
No.
No. What kind of joke is this?
It's you.
Really? Why?
Why? Because of everything you've done and everything that that the boys and girls who you served with have done.
I don't deserve all this.
You deserve more.
The Rock sounded like he proposing to a woman that don't want the ring.
No, he got all choked up. You got to watch the whole thing. It's really sweet.
But that was a guy?
No, it was a female.
Oh.
Yeah, Marlene Rodriguez. So shout out. I'm saying he got all choked up. As in The Rock.
That was
when he
dope.
Was giving it.
She got it. She was like,
present.
Why? But
yeah, she's a U.S. veteran, and it's the Ford's Go Further Award, and she was talking about the tremendous toll the Army took on her. She said, I wanted to stay in, but I don't think it was going to happen because I suffered severe traumatic brain injury.
Mm. Well, good. I'm glad you did something for the veterans. I can't stand to see homeless veterans. That's like my pet peeve. You go off and fight for this country, and then you come home, now you're on the side of the street with a sign begging for change. That's just disrespectful.
You know, side note, there was a guy at the DMV when he served 3 tours, and I guess somebody stole his license and was using his name. So when he got back, his license was suspended. And he was like, I have to stay online for 2 hours for
Jesus
this. And he was
Christ.
Cursed. He was pissed off. He was like, I just served this country.
Jesus Christ.
And I felt so bad for him.
I agree. I agree with him wholeheartedly.
All right, here's some other good news. Tyson Beckford, he is going to be coming back for 3 more months at Chippendales in Vegas on the Strip. Now, they said that ticket sales broke records when he did a 3-week guest appearance. That was a couple years ago. I think that was in celebration of the movie Chocolate City. So now he's coming back. He'll be in more numbers, and he'll have several dances that are custom choreographed for him. And that's going to start March 30th, his residency for Chippendales. What?
We don't care!
Right?
That's what.
Why are y'all so quiet?
We don't care.
Okay. You sound jealous and like a hater.
Jesus Christ.
No, okay. You sound like
Angela, y'all smiling in here,
hater.
Looking around the room. Like, right? Tyson, right.
Why y'all got so quiet?
Next story. Whatever.
Y'all don't want to come?
No.
You don't see Chippendales, Tyson?
I'll pass.
They didn't extend an invite to you guys?
They asked me to be in the show, but I was like, nah, I don't want to exploit my body like that.
No, you don't want to exploit your body.
They asked me. They was like, yo, Charlamagne, we've been seeing you out here. You looking good. You know what I'm saying? You want to be a black Chippendale? I was like, first of all, y'all don't got enough money for me, number one. Number two, I'm not exploiting my body like that.
Well, okay? Some lady is going to come out there and save Tyson and get him off that pole.
Oh, man. Listen, it's going to be a fat woman festival. All right? Drop one of Clues Bombs for the fat fella that will be that black Chippendale show.
He looks like he's enjoying it, too. If you see pictures, if you have Revolt TV, you can see Tyson looks like he's having a great time.
Listen, man, every woman with a high calorie intake is going to be in there throwing
them
dollars.
You stop hating, Charlamagne. Right? What is
I
the
hope
problem?
They got good
Congratulations.
Food. Hope they got good food at wherever he's dancing at.
All right, an American crime story. You know, they had a breakout hit with the O.J. Simpson story. Well, now they're doing another story that they feel like is going to be more ratings gold. And you know what scandal that is?
What?
A vast conspiracy, the real sex scandal that nearly brought down a president. Do you know what that is?
Bill
the Monica Lewinsky affair. So that's going to be happening. So the People versus O.J. Simpson did so well. Now they're doing this when they're
I'm
hoping
gonna be
that
totally
this is
honest.
Gonna...
I do not need to have four nights. How long? Four nights of fellatio. How long was that O.J. special? It was about four nights.
How many nights would you like
weeks.
To have?
It was like 4 weeks.
Five weeks. Yeah. We don't need 5 weeks of fellatio, bro. Like, okay, the man got some oral sex in the White House. Okay.
I think it was a lot of controversy, though, around it. It wasn't just that. It was just
where she came
all the
from,
other...
how she put in her freezer.
And all the other characters, Kenneth Starr, Linda Tripp, everybody else that was...
Did anybody die because of that blowjob?
No.
Okay, so...
Can you say that?
What? All right. Die? What, too late?
All right, well, anyway, that's your rumor report on Angela Yee.
Yeah. My goodness.
I'm a child.
What crazy guy.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkeys of the Day, ask Charlamagne.
I'm a Democrat, so being Donkey of the Day is a little bit of a mixed way.
So like a donkey. Yeehaw. Okay.
Donkey of the Day.
The Breakfast Club, bitches.
Now, I've been called a lot in my 23 years, but Donkey of the Day is a new one.
Hello.
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Thursday, January 19th goes to this 29-year-old queen named Bettina Jackson, okay? Bettina Jackson is from Roseville, Michigan, and she is tired of spending holidays alone. She promised herself at the top of 2017 that last year was the last year she was going to be alone on the holidays. She moved into 2017 and said to herself, I'm going to have me a Valentine's Day this February, boo-boo, okay? So she did what a lot of women do nowadays when they want a man. She went online. Okay, I don't know which site it could have been. Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, Facebook, ChristianMingle.com. I don't know which site it was, but she went online looking for a bae, and she found her a 39-year-old man. Now, after just a couple of dates, I don't know how many a couple is.
Oh, my goodness.
A couple is usually
what
two.
What envy? You looking at her picture on Revolt?
Yeah.
Police said...
Not very attractive.
Whoa.
It's just that her hair's messed up.
Oh, no, eyebrows.
Y'all look harsh.
No, I said just that her hair's not done.
Police said that Bettina asked the man to commit to a serious relationship after only a couple dates. Now, of course, the man said he wasn't willing to commit. You know, slow down, Ma, you're speeding. It's only been a couple of dates, okay?
I'm dating other people.
No! No! I will not spend another holiday alone! You're gonna be my Valentine! I want a man! I know my worth!
Did she say that? Are you making this up?
This is me, I'm role playing. Oh, yeah. I don't wanna be someone's option! I wanna be someone's priority! Rob Hill Sr. said!
Oh boy.
Well, the guy still said no. Okay, he's not ready to commit to a serious relationship. Well, this man made a grave mistake. After telling this young woman this, he didn't leave. Okay, at that moment, he should have said he had something to do. Okay, lie and say he was going to get something to eat, and then something came up. When a lonely, single, broken woman who wants a man puts that you need to commit to a relationship pressure on you, and you say no, man. It's like feeding a mogwai after midnight, okay? That mogwai going to turn into a vicious, murderous gremlin, and this Bonita Jackson situation is no different. Let's go to Local 4 Detroit for the report, please.
But Tina Jackson appeared before a judge today crying and pleading to be released after she was charged with one count of assault with intent to murder. Police say Jackson stabbed the man multiple times in his back and neck with a steak knife at her apartment after the two had an argument because the victim wouldn't commit to Jackson. Jackson was given a $250,000 bond and she'll be back in court next week. As for the victim, he's been released from the hospital and is expected to be okay.
Bettina. I keep calling her Bettina. Let's just call her B. Jackson. B. Jackson stabbed this 39-year-old man because he wasn't willing to commit to a serious relationship. Stabbed him 9 times with a steak knife in his back and neck. All because he wasn't willing to commit. Now, this is the problem that I have. Women, if you are in the same single boat as Bettina and you're lonely and you want a man, you shouldn't stab a man when he tells you the truth about not wanting to be in a relationship. You shouldn't stab anyone ever, but if a man leads you on and he's smashing you, telling you that he loves you and wants to be with you, but he's just gassing you up for your vagina, I can understand you stabbing him for that. It's still wrong, but a little more understandable, okay? Don't stab that man for keeping it real with you. What are us as men to do when we get in trouble for lying and in trouble for telling the truth? Now, Bettina Jackson is being held on a $250,000 bail, and she's claiming she stabbed a man in self-defense because he was physically and sexually assaulting her. I'm not going to dismiss her claims, but when I hear her say that, I think of the quote, "You stabbed me, then pretended you were the one who was bleeding." Okay, Bettina Jackson, I root for lonely women like yourself. I really do. I want you to find happiness. I want you to find a man, okay? But all you did was make the chances of that ever happening almost impossible. All right. Nobody gonna want the crazy chick from Michigan who stabbed a man she met on Tinder. Okay. So, Bettina, if you think you're lonely now, wait until you get bail. Okay. You gonna have to catfish yourself this February to get a Valentine. Please give Bettina Jackson the biggest hee-haw. I wish you the best. I really do.
And she stabbed him in the back and the neck.
And the neck.
So that means
my neck, my back,
my.
God bless her. God bless Bettina. God bless Bettina. I want her to win out here in these streets. I want all lonely women to win. Don't resort to that. I know it gets frustrating. I know you get stressed out, okay? I know it's easy to become scorned and bitter, but don't resort to stabbing a man just because he don't want to commit. Because maybe it's you.
All right.
Maybe it's you.
Wise words.
In this situation, clearly it was her, right? This guy made the right decision, right?
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, he definitely should have left.
He made the right decision. It's clearly you, Bettina. You blocking your own blessings.
Bettina, you deserve better.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today, sir.
Mm-hmm.
We are the Breakfast Club. It's time for Ask Ye. You got a question for Ye. You can call her right now. What line are we going to, Ye?
Let's do line number 6.
Hello, who's this?
Molly.
Hey, Molly. What's your question for Ye?
So, my fiance and I moved up to Massachusetts, where I'm from. He's from Florida. We did that partly because his parents treat him so badly. They promised us that they would give us a house because his father flips houses. His mom is a real estate agent, and that never came through. That even just, renting from them, not just, giving us the house. But then we move up here, and, on Christmas, he watches all of his sisters and brothers open thousands of dollars worth of Christmas presents on FaceTime, and they give him nothing. And he wanted to go home and visit his family, but we don't really have the financial means to do so right now. But he's been away from home for a super long time, 8 months, and he's never lived outside of Florida before, so he's sort of homesick. So he texted his dad and said, "Hey, would you mind splitting the cost of airfare with me?" And he receives no response.
Okay.
But his dad posts on Facebook, and he's
so definitely. What's the backstory with his relationship with them that they treat him this way? Has it always been like this?
So, his dad went to jail when he was, I think he was around 4 or 5, and then he was out of his life for a few years, and then he came back into his life, and my fiance moved in with his father and his stepmom. I don't think that they got along super well back then, but he looks up to his dad so much, and he really wants to please his dad with everything that he does.
So what's your question?
My question is it something that I can say, because it hurts him so much that he gets treated like the black sheep of the family?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to overstep my bounds, but at the same time...
How do they treat you?
Oh, like crap. Like, at New Year's last year, not like a couple weeks ago, but over a year ago, they brought his ex-girlfriend, who works for his father's company, mind you.
Oh,
they
gosh.
Brought her to New Year's, and she was dressed in like a wicked short dress, high heels at this family event. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they employ her, and they've
so they're
tried
just
to
not,
get
they're
him
just
and
not
her
respectful.
Back together.
They're not respectful to either one of you or to your relationship, basically.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, number one, this is their problem, not your problem. So always keep that in mind. When people don't treat you the way that you deserve to be treated, it's not a reflection of you. It's a reflection on them. So make sure okay. that with your fiance, you are very supportive toward him, and you let him know how important and special he is in your life so that he never feels like it's him, because a lot of times you feel like, what did I do wrong? What's wrong with me? But it's really some issues that they have within themselves.
Right.
You know,
right.
Maybe they haven't ever seen a healthy relationship. Maybe they have some jealousy towards you guys having a healthy relationship with each other. You know, we don't know what it is their issue is, but has either one of you ever said anything like, you know, I don't understand, is there an issue? Why do you guys act like this? Do you think that this is wrong that you've done this to us?
No, I haven't, because I don't know. I just feel like his stepmom is super fake, and mm-hmm. she tries to create drama. Like,
right.
There was a picture of my fiance and his best friend, who's a female, on Facebook, and I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. So she just assumed that, like, I had beef with his best friend, which is not true. I think she's a great girl. Mm-hmm. And she started telling people that I didn't like her.
Right. They're like gossipy. And a lot of families are like
that,
by the way. They're very gossipy in the business. So it's not something that is unique to your situation. But I will mm-hmm. say that you and your husband have a united front, support each other, do what you got to do. And sometimes, you know, it's not, you don't pick your family.
Right.
And sometimes there are issues. You can't let that drag down what you have going on for your own self-esteem and your own relationship. All you can do is point it out to them and let them know when they're being petty. Let them know when they're doing things that are disrespectful towards you, and point it out and keep it moving. And that's all you
got
to do. But you guys have to know, when you go into it and you go into these family situations, just go in there knowing that you can't expect them to treat you the way that you deserve to be treated.
Thank you.
All right. And never feel like it's anything that you've done wrong or anything that he's done wrong.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Good luck.
Bye.
Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're in the middle of Ask Yee. 800-585-1051.
Hello, who's this?
Hello.
Hey, what's your name?
Well, I'm Courtney.
Hey, Courtney, what's your question for Yee?
I actually have a boyfriend, and he's been to delete people off of Facebook, mm-hmm. and I've been willing to do it, but the moment that I ask him to delete a couple of people off of Facebook, he throws a tantrum. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering if I'm doing the right thing in deleting these people off
of
Facebook.
Well, why does he want you to delete them off your Facebook? I don't understand.
He says that the guys that I have on my Facebook, when they're in a relationship, they always tend to tell their girlfriends to block them off Facebook. So I thought it was being petty and him wanting me to delete people off of Facebook just because his friends do it to him. And then when
the
I saw him...
The whole thing sounds really petty. Because who are these people that you're asking him to delete? Are you doing that just because he's asking you to do it and you want to prove
a point? No, I'm actually doing it because these girls that I want him to delete off of Facebook are girls that hit him up at like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock at night, and they just talk about stupid stuff. And he says, "Oh, we're just acquaintances." But I've seen a lot of messages on his phone, and I mean, if you're just acquaintances, you don't talk to them every day about stupid stuff.
The issue is not y'all Facebooks. The issue is that you guys don't trust each other.
I guess I don't trust him. He says he trusts me, but I personally don't trust him at all.
Right. And that's more of the issue than this Facebook, because this Facebook thing is just complete nonsense. And truthfully, he probably doesn't trust you because maybe he's doing something and which you already think.
So am I doing the wrong thing in deleting the people from Facebook just because he wants me to?
Yeah, I mean, if that's not something that you want to do, it's not something that you should do.
Unless
you feel like, okay, I understand his point and it makes sense, And I feel that I should do it too. You should do it because you want to, not just because he said you should do it. If you feel like, okay, you know, for my relationship, I understand what he's saying and I agree with him, then yes. But if he's not giving you that same respect.
Yeah, he's not doing it for me. That's why I honestly thought he wasn't doing it for me, because clearly he has to do something with these girls, because he's deleted other people off. He's deleted his ex-girlfriends without an issue.
Right.
But the moment I ask him to delete these two girls, it's an issue. Like, he'll stop talking
to me. But, honey, the bigger issue is that y'all just don't trust each other.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
And that's the bigger issue that you guys need to really deal with. Why don't you trust him? Do you really think he's cheating?
I mean, it's hard because I've lived with him for so long. He always puts out the card like, oh, how can I cheat on you? We live together. You know all my moves, and he knows all my moves. But it's just kind of hard because I've heard stories from my best friend that she's always like, oh, you know, he's hitting me up. He's wanting to do this. But when I confront him about it, he doesn't really, you know, he evades it. So it's not like I've ever called him in anything to say I don't.
Wait, your best friend says that he's hitting her up? That sounds crazy.
Yeah, she says that, oh, you know, he's been trying to hit me up and ask me out to go to lunch.
What?
And when I ask him, he's like, oh, it's not like that. I ask a lot of people out to lunch,
Yeah, no, he should definitely not be doing nothing like that, especially if it makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah, he's definitely stopped, but I guess I'm doing wrong in telling him that he's cheating if I don't have no evidence.
Right. But if you feel like there's something going on and you don't trust him, like I said, that's something that y'all really have to deal with more than just a Facebook.
Okay. I totally appreciate your advice. And by the way, hey, Charlamagne, I love you guys at MV.
What's up,
I
boo?
Listen to you guys
love you
every
back, mama.
Morning.
Thank you, mama.
All right.
You guys
thank
got
you.
All my love. Bye.
Thank you.
That. Take care. Hope everything works out.
All right. Ask Ye 800-585-1051. If you got a relationship question, you can ask Ye. Let me love you. Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hey.
Hey, what's happening?
Was Tory Lanez.
It's the weekend already, right?
No, yeah. It's not the weekend yet.
Oh, okay.
Pretty much.
Today is, what, Thursday?
Yeah.
It's technically Thursday. The weekend.
Morning, everybody. We are The Breakfast Club. If anybody that's listening for BET, Stephen Hill, you can send over the third part of the New Edition trilogy, please. I've seen one and two.
They sent it to me, but they told me not to share it with anybody.
You lie.
Stephen Hill say, shut your beige ass up and tune in next week like everybody else on BET.
Who you think
Who
you are?
Who the hell you think you are?
Envy.
That's who I think I am.
Oh, please.
Well, let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Rashad.
It's not even who you are.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Well, we told you earlier in the rumors about Chrisette Michele. She'll be performing at Donald Trump's inauguration. And the other people that she was supposed to perform with all turned it down, so she'll be there. She said she wants to do an R&B set. She penned an open letter. She said, we can't be present if we're silent. My heart is broken for our country, for the hopes of our children, for the fights of those who came before us. I cry at the thought that Black history, American history, might be in vain. This country has had great moments. God has shined his light upon us. And then she goes on to say, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, our lives begin to end the day we become silent about what matters. I am here representing you because this is what matters.
That's what I said. Maybe she'll do some type of protest on the stage or say something on the stage. But like I had the conversation with Michael Eric Dyson earlier, we're going to have engagers. We're going to have resistors. The resistors don't need to get mad at the engagers for engaging. We all need to be on the same page. As long as the cause is the betterment of Black people, let people do whatever method they want to get to that.
I don't know.
Hashtag no political genius. That's how she ended it.
We'll see what she does.
And by the way, that whole inauguration was put together by Busta Moon. If you don't know who Busta Moon is and you haven't taken your children to see the movie Sing, but if you've taken your children to see the movie Sing, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That whole inauguration, all the talent there, Busta Moon, the koala bear, put all that together.
All right, now Soulja Boy no longer has Floyd Mayweather training him. He
went
on Twitter.
That fight's not gonna happen.
And said that he hasn't been pleased with the whole way the whole fight with Soulja Boy versus Chris Brown is about to go down. He said he's now taking matters into his own hands. He's going to pay for everything. He said, I'm throwing the fight. These N-words taking too long. F this issue. You need tickets, hit me. I'm running the show. And so originally this was a Floyd Mayweather promotion, but he's saying it's just taking too long. So
Floyd
now
and Chris
he's gonna do it himself. He said he's gonna give an interview on Jimmy Kimmel Live about the upcoming fight, his new tour, and a TV show update.
Floyd and Chris not even gonna be mad. Not Floyd. Chris and Soulja Boy not even gonna be mad at each other to wanna fight in a couple months, man.
Right. So
that moment is past.
On.
I'm over it.
All right, Ed Sheeran has made history. He's the first artist ever to debut two singles in the top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100 at the same damn time.
Drop on Shape of You and Ed Sheeran.
And Castle on the Hill both debuted at number 1 and number 6.
That's my guy.
He said it feels amazing to debut at number 1 in the U.S., especially after being away for so long.
That's
so
my
congratulations
guy.
To him.
Couldn't happen to a better person. Ed Sheeran's a great guy.
Also, let's talk about Yams Day with the passing of A$AP crew founder A$AP Yams 2 years ago. They did have the whole A$AP, they had the Yams Day. A lot of people showed up at Madison Square Garden.
This is the third
for
or
the
second annual
celebration concert. The Weeknd came out, Kendrick Lamar, Young Thug. Of course, A$AP Rocky was on stage. So a lot of people went out to show their love and support. Sold out event.
Rest in peace to A$AP Yam. Drop on the Clues Bombs for the A$AP Mob. Rocky Ferg was happening.
All right, now Lil Wayne. It does sound like he finally has some music really coming out. The Carter Five. The album's supposed to come out this year sometime. Lil Wayne Headquarters put up a little snippet of a song called Life of Mr. Carter. Check it out. Carter, especially when these hoes ain't right, these hoes ain't lawyers. What's wrong or right, and what's the order? I know this ain't chaos, get you, Mr. Carter. I'll be A-OK as long as my wife can cook a quarter. The type of shit I won't take for granted. All right, just in case you guys were wondering. And, this is bad news for Bobby Shmurda's co-defendant.
This is crazy.
He got sentenced to 130 years.
What's the point? Why are you playing, Judge?
Now, in September,
there's a reason.
In September, Santino Baderick, who's 23 years old, was offered a plea deal of 15 years. He turned that down. His three co-defendants, including Bobby Shmurda, did take that deal. He didn't. And while he was in court, he told the judge, F yourself. He also told him to suck his D before he was ordered.
That's why I got 130 years.
All right. Okay.
To jail.
Okay.
And yes, they actually made him leave the court and they delivered that sentence while he was gone. He was convicted of conspiracy to commit murder, attempted murder, possession of a weapon, and 20 other felonies.
You just have to make smarter decisions, man. If you're in the courthouse and you know you're facing 15 years and you don't want to take that plea, if you're bargaining, you don't tell the judge to suck your D.
I don't
think that's smart.
Well, he didn't take the plea.
No, he didn't take the plea.
Yeah, but he's bargaining for something else, right?
He was hoping for something else.
Exactly.
He's young. He's 23. So when he got locked up, when he's 2 years ago, 21, he would have been out 32, 33.
Still, though, we got to start being more realistic, though. Like when you're a judge. Like, stop telling the judge just be showing off 187 years.
Well, if you're a judge and somebody tells you to suck his
just say forever. Just say forever. You don't got to give me a number. What you playing for? Just say forever.
And 21 Savage has signed to Epic Records. He confirmed that.
Drop on the Clues Bombs
on the Rap Radar podcast. And he said about L.A. Reid, he said, he's black. He's probably the last black CEO. Why not? He'll understand me before anyone else.
Is he the last black CEO?
Well, Puff is black. Jay-Z is black.
Of a label, though, of a record label. Like, that actually runs a record label every day.
Nah.
Who is going to be 100? Who you know that's 187 years old?
Like, he's still on that.
Yes, I hate when judges do that.
Where did you just come up with 187, though?
I'm just throwing a number out there. You tell somebody, you give somebody 147 years, and you're already 20-something, you're going to be 160-plus when you get out. Like, no, stop giving people false hope like that. Just say forever.
What kind of hope is
there's
that?
No hope
that's
for
not
that.
A hope.
17 years is
you
no
give
hope.
Me a number,
130
I'm going to count
years,
down.
I don't feel like I have hope.
You give me a number, I'm going to count down the day.
There's no reason to.
I'm going
to
count down the day.
Paul McCartney is trying to get back the rights, to his copyrights for a lot of the hits from the Beatles. Now, remember, Michael Jackson actually controlled these songs for some time. That was the falling out that Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney had.
Mm-hmm.
And then his estate actually sold it to Sony for $750 million last year. Paul McCartney has tried numerous times to get confirmation that he can get the rights back without a fight because he's supposed to get those rights back in 2018. But so far, he's been getting the runaround. So he wants to make sure that he gets those songs back by next year.
And
he
gets it for free?
I guess he's supposed to get the rights back in 2018.
Oh, so Michael bought them, though.
And then his estate sold them to Sony for $750 million.
Sony ain't
last
giving that
year.
Back. Not that they spent $750. No way.
I don't know nothing about that.
That's going to be a fight.
I don't care about them rich Negro problems.
Well, yeah, but he has legal documents that he gets them back in 2018. So they only have the copyright for a certain amount of time.
All right, sir, Paul.
All right, well, I'm Angela Yee, and that's your Rumor Report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Shout out to our family at Revolt. We'll see you guys tomorrow.